Welcome to the Mercy Talk podcast. I am your host, Melanie Carter. And if you're new with us, Mercy Talk is an outreach extension of Mercy Multiplied, a nonprofit Christian organization that has been dedicated to helping young women break free from life-controlling issues since 1983. Most of you probably know that we operated under the name Mercy Ministries for 32 years. And just this last week or so, we made the switch to our new name, Mercy Multiplied. And this new name basically reflects the expansion of our outreach efforts, as well as the principle of seeing the young women who come through our residential program go out and spread the freedom that they have found to others. You'll actually be hearing today from one of our graduates who definitely represents Mercy Multiplied, and I know you are going to be deeply impacted by her story and the work that God has done in her life. So we are so glad that you could join us for this final installment of our Ditch the Baggage series. We started out in July with our first key to freedom, which was total commitment to freedom. And since then, we have worked through the remaining keys of healing life's hurts, renewing the mind, choosing to forgive, breaking generational patterns, choosing freedom over oppression. And today, we are wrapping up with the final key, which is maintaining lifelong freedom. We hope that you've enjoyed the previous podcast episodes. And if you've missed any of them, you can find all of them on our website at mercymultiplied.com. As I mentioned, we are joined today on our show by Mercy graduate Nikki, and this young woman is most certainly not the same person that she was years ago when she entered our residential program here. We have been so blessed to watch her, basically just watch the Lord completely change her life during the 9 months that she was a resident in our program, but it's also been awesome to see her life continue to flourish in the years since she graduated from Mercy. So I think Nikki would probably be the first person to say that her life isn't perfect even after Mercy. So please hear us when we say that freedom is not about finding perfection, but it's about knowing what to do when you struggle and just having the tools to keep you from going under when that happens. And Nikki is a great example of that. And we're just so honored to have her with us today. Nikki, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Nikki, can you give our listeners just kind of a brief overview of what it was that brought you to Mercy in the first place?
Sure. Well, I came to Mercy in 2012 at the age of 22. And when I came, I was struggling with several life-controlling issues, self-harm, eating disorder, addiction. And by that point in my life, I had lived in 3 group homes, stayed in a state hospital for 9 months, and hospitalized over 100 times. I was also taking 12 psychiatric medications a day just to help me stay stable, help my mood to be regulated. And I also spent a year addicted to heroin and cocaine and working as a prostitute and living in a homeless shelter.
Wow. Nikki, I'm sure that having gone through all of that and having gone through so many different programs, I am sure that it was hard to feel like there was any hope, you know, when they were not working. So can you even share a little bit about, you know, what was it when you came to Mercy, what was different about Mercy's program and what did the Lord do in your life here to turn things around?
Sure. It was definitely really hard at first when I came to Mercy because I had been hospitalized so many times and I had received the best treatment available to me. So it was definitely hard coming into a new program thinking that this one was going to be any different.
Sure.
But not being raised a Christian, this program did have a little bit, you know, it was a little bit different than the other programs I've been to because I'd never been in anything that was like Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. But I did notice immediately from the beginning that this program was different than the other programs that I had been to because this program was telling me that I could be free from these things and that like I could be healed from bipolar disorder or depression or post-traumatic stress disorder, where every other program that I had been to told me, oh, this is something that you're going to have to manage for your whole life. And they would tell me, oh, it's possible, but you're going to need to take these medications and you're going to need to go to these therapy sessions every week. And you're going to have to do like, there was just a whole list of things and you'll always have to know what your coping skills can be whenever, you know, a panic attack hits or something. But this program was different because it was telling me that if I chose to trust Jesus, then he would be able to heal me completely from these things. And it was hard for me to trust at first, especially because, I mean, I've been hurt a lot in my life, so trust doesn't come easy for me. But I was so desperate and so hopeless that it was either this or die. So if I was willing to give life one more chance, and I had tried to kill myself several times, even being in the ICU for weeks, and I hadn't been able to kill myself right, I thought, well, if I can't die, like, I might as well give this a chance. And it wasn't even out of like, oh, I have hope and Jesus is awesome. It was literally out of a place of like, I can't even kill myself right, so I might as well try something else.
Yeah. Wow, Nikki, that, I mean, to know even where you are today and to hear your story. I mean, I've heard your story many times, but even just to know that where you were and where I know you are today, I'm just completely blown away. And obviously, the Lord did a very miraculous work in your life, because even with all of the change that you experienced in your time at Mercy, there's no way that we could even claim that as, well, we just have a really good program. We have some good counselors. I mean, there was something that the Lord did supernaturally that we could never have explained. And so can you talk at all to that, just kind of what happened here that changed things for you?
Sure. I definitely think you're right that it wasn't just, oh, Mercy is an amazing program, and therefore that's why I am this amazing success story. I definitely know that it was, you know, God who did it in me. And I think that, you know, during my time here, even just reading truth cards and things like that, there's things in the spirit that just break because of that, because of that obedience and that willingness. And just, you know, spending time in worship every day where I could feel, you know, the power of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, where God just comes in and he supernaturally heals things and he supernaturally like loosens the things in your heart that you need to let go of. And even the keys to freedom that you guys have been talking about, like choosing to forgive and renewing the mind, those things were so helpful to me at my stay at Mercy. They don't teach you those things in other programs. They don't teach you about forgiveness or that you can actually change the way that you think. But at Mercy, like through renewing the mind, like I learned to think a different way, and choosing to forgive, I was able to let go of pain in the past. So I don't have maybe the best explanation for what the Lord did while I was here. I just know that he's powerful and he came and he met me and he encountered me and he did things in my heart that I can't explain.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's actually the perfect segue into kind of our topic today on how to maintain lifelong freedom, because not only do you find freedom in your walk and your relationship with the Lord and letting him do that work and letting him heal you and letting him set you free from those things, but also it's your connection with him that keeps you free. And so that's kind of what we are talking about. You know, last week we talked about what we call the four stay-ins: staying in the word, staying in prayer, staying in community, and staying in accountability. And so I would love to know specifically, how did those four stay-ins impact you after Mercy and how you're continuing to walk out your freedom?
Well, I believe these things are super important for everyone, but it felt especially important for me coming out of Mercy. I mean, it's hard and you learn all these new tools and you learn a better way of life. And once you leave, you feel like now you're kind of left to do it all on your own. And in my situation as a new believer and moving to a new city, it was really important for me the first couple of months to do all these things. So I made sure for me that I was in church every single week, even if I didn't want to talk to anyone or even if I didn't fully engage with community at first, at least I was there. Yeah. And now, even 3 years later, it's still super important for me to go to church. And my life is a lot busier now, so I'm often tempted to skip church on a Sunday to sleep in. But I found it's really not worth it. I can definitely notice a difference in myself if I'm not in church. But my church also has like a Monday night group. So if I am super tired on a Sunday, if it's been an especially long week, I will sleep in, because rest is important also. So I'll just go to church on a Monday night instead. Staying in the word and staying in prayer is the same as staying in church. Sometimes I don't want to, but I know that if I can just spend 15 minutes in the morning reading my Bible, then I can just have strength for the entire day. When we're at Mercy, our spirits are constantly being fed. We have Bible reading in the morning and then truth statements and worship and then teaching. So we're used to being really full. And then if you don't feed your spirit when you leave, you get hungry and eventually you're starving. And I know that for me, when I'm physically starving, I will eat anything to get full. And it's the same with our spirits. We will fill up on whatever we can find. So it's preventing yourself from getting to that starving state. And I like to just stay in prayer throughout the day. You know, if I'm feeling anxious about something, just surrendering those things to him and not being anxious and just asking for strength when I need it. Or if I, you know, if I see someone, just praying for them and just constantly having that connection with the Lord. And you know, that helps me to feel like I'm not alone. Staying in fellowship with other believers is probably the hardest one for me, because my natural tendency is to pull away and to be alone. And I'm starting to realize that that may be something that I learned to deal with fear and stresses instead of like a personality thing, which I had thought it was. And it's okay to, you know, for me to pull away and be alone sometimes, but sometimes I feel like irritable and I think like, oh, I just need to get away from people. Like, I just want to be alone. And I'm realizing though that I can be around people all day, but if I'm not connecting with them, like it doesn't fill that need. And it's important for people to feel connected to one another. Mm-hmm. So like I choose to connect with spirit-filled believers like me that so that we can encourage each other instead of bringing each other down or deeper into sin. And as far as accountability goes, when I left Mercy, I was set up with an accountability partner. And for the first 6 months, we met every week and had coffee together. And she would ask me certain questions that I had told her to ask me. But after that 6 months, it was still important for me to find accountability. So I went and looked, you know, at the people around me at my church, and I found someone who I trusted and felt safe with, and I asked them to be my mentor. So it's the same thing as, you know, accountability is that she keeps me accountable for the things that I struggle with. She asks me, how is this going? How is this going? And it's not just my mentor that asks me those questions. I have a roommate and we keep each other accountable for things. She can call me out on stuff and I can call her out on stuff. And, you know, I'm also a leader in the youth group. So there, I have the youth pastors who I serve under who can call me out on things. And if I'm struggling with something, I need to bring it up to them, because I'm realizing that, you know, at Mercy, if someone could see, like, you know, saw my destructive behavior, they would come to me and talk to me about it. And that's sort of how my whole life worked. Being in treatment was people would see things and then they would talk to me about them. But as becoming a more mature believer and just even becoming an adult and just growing in freedom and stuff, it's actually up to me now to seek those people out and to be open with what I'm struggling with.
That's awesome. That's really, really powerful. And, you know, obviously we tell girls when they're in the Mercy program that it's the Lord that is doing this. It's the Lord that's setting you free. It's not Mercy Ministries that set you free. It's the Lord that set you free. And so when you leave, you can actually still keep walking this out. The Lord is going with you wherever you go. And so that applies to our Mercy girls and our Mercy grads, obviously, but also this principle is for all of us. It's, I mean, I can absolutely see how when I'm walking in these principles and walking in these stay-ins, I'm walking in freedom and wholeness and life. But whenever I let any of these slip, I can tell, I can see it, I can feel it. And so I love that you obviously are such a strong testimony of how those things have kept you in that place when you were in such a dark place, you know, only months before that. And so I would also love to know, on top of those four stay-ins that we've talked about, can you talk about like just some of the boundaries that you've set in your life? I mean, these could even be good things, normal things that people have in their life, but boundaries that maybe you had to set to, you know, basically cut out of your life to keep yourself from going down a path that would lead you away from the freedom that you had.
Well, I think when I first left Mercy, my boundaries were a little bit stricter than they are now. For example, when I first left Mercy, I changed my phone number, I changed my email address, and I deleted my Facebook page. I also, you know, maybe went a little bit extreme. I moved to the other side of the country, you know, all to just get away from the negative influences of the past. I also stopped listening to secular music, and I wouldn't be around people who drank or smoke, and I wouldn't drink or do any of that sort of stuff. And as, you know, time goes on, like, I'm learning that, you know, the Lord trusts me and I can trust myself to make good choices. And also now I can be around people who drink or who smoke, and it's not this huge triggering thing for me. It's actually like, now is actually an opportunity for me to be a light, and I can be like, oh, hey, like there's actually a better way. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to do this. You don't need to do drugs. And I can actually like minister to them out of what I've been set free from. And, you know, the main reason I had to delete my Facebook was just because I had all these pictures of myself from at the worst point of my eating disorder, and they were super triggering for me to look at. I would look at them and I'd just be like, I would start hearing the lie that I was happier when I was skinnier. And that would make me want to start dieting and exercising. And I knew from my past that that was a trigger for me. So I just kind of, all of the things that I learned at Mercy, like I had relapsed so many times before Mercy that I had a pretty good idea of what my triggers were, of like what things would cause me to go back to that. So, and then all those things, I just kind of made them not accessible to me. So, you know, listening to certain music that talks about getting high, like, would make me want to get high. So that sort of thing. So just kind of eliminating a lot of the triggers in my life.
Yeah, that's really great. I am even thinking about different seasons of life where I've had to cut out things where I just knew, like, I've been struggling with this. And when I do this or see this or listen to this, it takes me back to that place. And so I think it's great that you brought in that you even have even been able to kind of alter some of those boundaries as you've become stronger and stronger. Because it's not to say, like you said, that listening to any secular music is bad. It's not to say that going to some certain places may not be okay. But man, when you know that that is a trigger for me, I think that's the important thing, is that people be aware of what lies they struggle with or what issues they're struggling with, and be very conscious of what things put them in that place. You know, like, I've even thought about times where I've struggled with my, you know, external appearance a lot, or being, feeling like I'm not, you know, I'm not pretty. And I know that when I look at magazines, I feel that much worse about myself. Like, every time I look at a magazine, I think, here's a way I could improve myself. You know, so it's like, magazines aren't bad or sinful, but I know for me, that was not good for me at certain seasons of my life. I needed to stay away from magazines, you know, so it's just different for everybody, depending on what it is that you're struggling with. And so I think that's great that you pointed that out. You know, I guess just to kind of just talk about overall, what has been the best part of this new life that you have found and that you're living now today?
I think the best part is just my relationship with God. Like, you know, it's new every day, and learning more about the heart of God every day. Life without Jesus was unfulfilling for me, and it felt like there was no point, but I have found hope and purpose in Jesus, and I just get to connect with him every day and hear about how he sees me and hear about how proud he is of me. My relationship with Jesus is endless, and it's new every day. I love that I have a second chance at life, and now I get to do all the things that I dreamed about doing as a little girl. Just as an example, when I was little, I used to dream about going to Africa and, like, traveling all around the world. And I didn't know this then, like, I didn't know Jesus, but this was like a desire that he placed inside of my heart, because it's actually part of my destiny to travel. Last year, I spent 3 weeks in China, and now this year I get to go to Africa. I'm actually leaving in 2 weeks, and
awesome.
My life now is just so exciting, and it's all because I laid down my plans for my life and said yes to the one that has a better plan, and he knows me better than I know myself.
I love it. That is so great, and just such a testimony to the fact that, you know, freedom isn't just about taking all the bad stuff out of your life, but it's also about all the incredible, amazing things that the Lord has for you that you now have access to and that you can walk in because you're free from those things. I love it. That's amazing. And, you know, Nikki, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, as awesome and wonderful as your life is today, I know everything isn't perfect because nobody's life is perfect. And finding freedom is not about perfection. And there may be people who are out there thinking, okay, well, if I can just be free, everything's gonna be perfect. I won't struggle. Nothing will go wrong, you know? And so maybe you could speak a little bit to that as well. Like, what are some of the hard things that you've faced since being at Mercy, and how have you walked through those times?
Yeah, this journey has definitely not been easy, but it definitely gets easier with each step. And I think the hardest thing for me has been realizing that I'm not completely perfect, like you said. I think when I left Mercy, I felt so good that I thought my struggles were over for the rest of my life. I thought I had been healed of all the pain of the abuse in my childhood. I thought I would never want to hurt myself again or make myself throw up. But I've actually recently decided that it's time for me to go back to counseling. And it has been really hard, and harder even than the counseling I did at Mercy. But the thing is that I can handle it now. And if I had dealt with this pain prior to this point in my healing, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I probably would have just killed myself. But God is gentle, and he's not going to force me to deal with any trauma that I'm not ready to deal with. So I've realized that this is a good thing for me, and it's healthy for me to continue to grow, because all living things need to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a journey. It's not that anyone arrives at this certain point and they're done. All is healed. On this side of heaven, we are going to keep walking this journey and keep having moments. We're going to need to go back and remind ourselves of what the Lord did, or maybe possibly get help again. You know, it's not like you arrive and then you're done. And so I think I love that you're being just honest and open about how it's still a journey for you, but you actually feel like you have the tools now to keep walking this out. So I love that you were able to share that. What would you say, just to kind of close out today? I mean, if there is someone out there who, you know, just really is feeling like there's no hope for my situation right now, there's no way, there's no getting out of this. I think that you can obviously speak very powerfully to someone who's in that place who maybe feel like, I mean, they're too far gone, you know? So what would you say to anyone out there who might be listening and is in that place?
I would say that if you are hopeless, I'd say that you're in the perfect position to receive from Jesus. Because it's when we stop fighting ourselves and we stop fighting the world and we just surrender our brokenness that we're able to get whole again. Because it's not anything that we can fix. We can't fix our own broken hearts. We need Jesus. We do need to choose him. And there are things that we can do to help ourselves, like, you know, reading truth statements and staying in the word and finding community. But ultimately, he does the healing. And if you believe that he is everything, then there is no one that can get outside of his reach.
Yeah, so great. Nikki, thank you so much for being here today. I never get tired of hearing your story and hearing you talk about what the Lord has done. And I'm just so grateful for you being here and sharing today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I loved being here.
Great. So today's show is truly a perfect segue into something really exciting that is actually happening here tomorrow. And it is our first ever Freedom Experience Weekend happening at Christ Church tomorrow and Saturday. I cannot believe that it is actually finally here. We have been planning this for months and months and praying for everyone coming. And we are just really, really so excited about this. We would like to ask our listeners to join us in prayer for this event, that God would just really bring every single person involved, whether it be people volunteering, working, attending, that we would all be brought to new levels of freedom and wholeness through our time together. And actually, if you have not been able to register online for this event, you can actually come tomorrow and show up at 4:30 is when registration will begin at Christ Church here in Nashville. And tickets are $75, so you can actually come and pay at the door and join us for the weekend. We would love, love, love to have you. And we'll definitely be sharing in the weeks to come about all that God does through this weekend, so be watching for that. We are moving into a very busy season around here at Mercy with lots of great events that you can be involved with, including our Run for Mercy in Monroe, Louisiana, our 10-year celebration of our St. Louis home, Mary Mercy in Nashville, and we're also having an event called Mercy Wonderland in Sacramento. These events are always so much fun and give you the opportunity to come out and be part of what Mercy Multiplied is doing to restore hope and transform lives. So for more information about all of these events, make sure you check out mercymultiplied.com/events. We want you to know that we are so thankful for your support and your partnership as we continue to deliver these podcasts to bring hope and tools for living in lifelong freedom. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week.